Well, we're down to the final four teams in the NFL, for those that care. Now you care. Okay, LA, now you care. And I'm going to cheer for the Rams. That's where I'm at. That is where I'm at. I have now, I've gone from the Seahawks to the Chargers to the Rams. That's where I'm at. And if the Dolphins were in it, Rye, I'd be cheering for the Dolphins. Big shout out to Ryan Basford, who's sitting courtside here tonight, center stage. Ryan is currently not dating anyone. Ryan, if you'd stand, Ryan is available to date anyone and everyone. There he is. You're not, you got, stand up. Okay, all right. Tell you what. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Kennedy is here tonight from E! News. He's on twice a night on the NBC Network of Families. Network of Families? Family of Networks. Jason Kennedy. Hey, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jason Kennedy, and that is the truth. This all started in his living room, in case you haven't heard the story, approximately 5 years ago. So, Jason Kennedy, I love you so much, and thanks for dinner tonight. I got a Caesar salad and I left early. Jason paid. I got to do that more. Oh, man. All right. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read a few verses. And I got caught up with this idea that this is going to be a year of favor. And I really believe it. I believe there's going to be favor on your life in the most ordinary, everyday moments of 2019. You're going to have a sense of God's love, God's goodness, and God's aid and help in your life. I'm believing that for you. Whatever you're going through, you can imagine the amount of people tonight in this theater, how many people are facing different kinds of situations, challenges, circumstances. You got aspirations, desires. You have hopes and dreams. Some maybe already 15 days into 2019 have been slightly dashed. You feel like, man, it's not going to be a good year. I would beg to differ. I believe this is going to be the greatest year of our life. It's not going to be without challenges and difficulties, but I believe we are going to collectively and individually experience God's favor in 2019. Why not? Why not? So the way this goes, I'm going to take the next few minutes and we're going to go to scripture. You're going to find out real quick, Church Home is a place that believes that the Bible is inspired by God. We believe that God is real. We believe that God has revealed himself completely and fully in the person of Jesus. You're going to find out real quick, I'm a Jesus guy. I believe Jesus has completely transformed my life. I believe he's the only one that can pay for my error, my wrong, and my sin. I believe that Jesus took my sin. He became sin so that I could become right with God by simply accepting that free gift of forgiveness. And so that's always going to come out here at Church Home. But here's the big idea. You do not have to believe that to belong here. We've got a lot more in common as human beings than we don't. Can I hear an amen? And from Los Angeles to Seattle, it is our honor to welcome anyone and everyone to be an active participant and member of this faith community, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey. As we're approaching Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 7. I cannot but stop for a moment to consider the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is a... I am grateful to the United States of America to commemorate his life and legacy this Monday. I hope that if you have opportunity with roommates or friends or loved ones, or if you happen to be a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or a grandmother, would you, I'm pleading from Los Angeles to Seattle, if you would take time this Monday, not just take it as a day off, but if you would consider the sacrifice of so many to bring equality in this country and to continue to realize the dream, not only of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but I believe the dream of our Creator. And that is that every man, woman, boy, and girl are of infinite and equal value before God forever and ever without end. Come on, somebody. And so, Church Home is for a lot of things, and we are for all people. But I tell you what we are not for and what we are against is the marginalization, the overlooking, or making small of any people group on this planet. that is the opposite of God, that is the opposite of the life and ministry of Jesus. And I thank God so much for the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At one point, I had an iPod. Y'all remember iPods? And I had every single known recording of Dr. King and his speeches. I probably listened to hundreds of times, if not thousands of times. And that man has dramatically impacted my life. And make no mistake, Dr. King stood not just for justice for one people group, but for all people group. And he was a man with a deep sense of faith in Jesus. And I'm so grateful for his legacy. And I'm asking that Church Home would not take this Monday as, again, a day off, but that you would reflect in your own life. Am I a proponent? How many know you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution? And we're going to be a part of the solution. Let's be the people that speak up for those who feel overlooked or marginalized, for those who are not seen as of equal value in this country or any country. We are going to be those people. And so I hope you take time for those in your world to reflect on the life and legacy of Dr. King. We've got a long ways to go, America. We got a long ways to go in this country to realize that great man's dream, but we're going to continue to endeavor to do that. And as far as this church is concerned, we are committed to living out the values of Jesus. I hadn't even preached, but I preached. You know what I mean? Like, we already doing this. I want to talk to you today from the topic of open doors. I'd like to show you today that God is intending to open doors for you in 2019. It says in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, it's in red. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you." Knock and it being a door, will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, there it is again, repetition, emphasis, whoever knocks on the door, it will be open. Going on, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent? If you then who are evil," meaning earthly fathers are evil, though we are good, and I like to think that I'm a good dad, "we're evil in comparison to how good God is. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children," listen to the language now, "how much more will your Father, God, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" This was my dad's favorite verse. My dad, who pastored for some 40 years, he said, "If you need something from God, where do you go? 7-Eleven." Matthew 7. Too early? Too early for the jokes? All right. Seattle's laughing at least. I can guarantee that right now. Thank you, Seattle. Tough crowd here in LA. 7-Eleven. "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children." Maybe you're here tonight and a friend invited you to church, or you're there in Seattle, a friend invited you to church, and the last thing you thought you would hear is that God is so good, he wants to give you good gifts. Maybe you walked into this building or whatever respective building, or you're watching right now on the app, and you're thinking, "The last thing I thought I would hear is that God is so good, he wants to give me good gifts." Well, that's what Matthew 7:11 says. In fact, it says, "How much more gooder," that's what it means, "is God who is in heaven, who is your ultimate father. He's so good that if you knock on these doors, he will open them to you." Again, I want to talk to you about open doors in 2019. And I want to be real careful, because I've been preaching now long enough to know that certain topics make for good sermons, make people feel good. A few people say amen. It'll make for good notes. And then they'll put it on podcast and people will like it. I am not interested in religious rhetoric. I'm not interested in preaching cliches. I don't think anybody just needs some routine preaching to make you feel fuzzies on the inside. I need some truth, because the Bible says the truth will make me free. And so I promise you, I'm not going to try to just preach to you because, well, it's something good and I'm wearing a turtleneck. I'm going to bring back the turtleneck if it's the last thing I do. We need what's real and what's true. And so I understand, I've grown up in church long enough to know, you know how many sermons I've heard on God's gonna open a door, right? Like, I mean, I heard so many sermons with music playing softly and organs. I mean, I've been in more church services than you've been in Starbucks or anywhere else, okay? So I've heard a lot of rhetoric that makes people shout but does not help them on a Monday morning or a Thursday afternoon. I'd like to show you that I actually am convinced tonight that God has intention to open significant doors for you in 2019. I believe that. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you for the moments that we share. Help us to be efficient and effective today as we approach your story. Help us to fall in love with who you are. Take us past mere principles and concepts and introduce us to you, the person. We thank you for that. And Lord, I guess the lesser of the four evils is the Los Angeles Rams. So I suppose be with them. And oh God, please, Lord, I'm knocking on this door. I'm knocking on the door that says Tom Brady loses. I'm knocking on that door, knocking and praying and asking. Jesus, please. I can't bear it. I can't bear another Super Bowl with number 12. I can't do it. I love him. If you know him, tell him hi for me. I'm just saying, when he gets on a football field, I hate him. Oh, man. Are you afraid of the dark? Four people are honest in church. I'm not. Brent Ryan Green's good to see you. I haven't seen my friend Brent in a long time. He didn't believe in God anymore. But I'm kidding. He's been in Oklahoma. But Brent, I'm not saying that I am afraid of the dark. I just don't prefer the dark. And that's different. You know what I mean? Like, first of all, who prefers the dark? You know what I mean? Who's like, oh, I love total darkness? Well, that's kind of creepy, to be honest, okay? So I always, grown up, had the door cracked open with a little light. Anybody, you're always like, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, just leave the door open just a little bit. Hallway light on. Anybody with me? Anybody? Okay, you know what? I promise you somebody in Seattle is raising their hand, okay? Apparently, four people are afraid of the dark here in LA. You're all absolute just giants of faith and courage and confidence, okay? I don't like the dark. Now, Chelsea, my wife of 19 years, Chelsea's not afraid of the dark. Chelsea's not really afraid of anything. That's when recently we got this new technology. A friend of mine got it for me, and it's called Ring. Maybe you've heard of it. They're one of our sponsors tonight. I'm just kidding. But that's a joke. But it tells you when somebody's at your front door. Ring, someone's at the front door. It's a little creepy, right? And by the way, like, if limbs move fast enough, they're like, there's movement at your front door. So now I'm paranoid. But Chelsea, I'll wake up. The other night, there was like, someone's at the front door. I wake up, I'm like, oh, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Chelsea, go check the front door, okay? That's how things have gone for 19 years. So recently, Seattle, you know what I'm talking about, we had power outages in the Seattle area because there was heavy winds. This is a couple of weeks ago. And so Chelsea and I were at home. I'm trying to think. I think she was playing Sudoku on her phone and I was playing Wordscapes on my phone, having a real quality kind of night. And all of a sudden, all the lights go out. All the lights go out. Now, thank God we all have phones now. So it's like, oh, this is kind of romantic. Then I remembered I needed to get something upstairs in my room. And I don't know why I left my phone, which has a built-in flashlight, thank God, but I left my phone and I go upstairs. And again, like I told you, I don't prefer the dark. I'm not at my best at the dark. I'm not my most confident self in the dark, okay? I don't want you to videotape me in the dark, okay? So I get upstairs and there's a little bit of kind of a long hallway to our room. And by the time I got upstairs, I realized, you fool, you didn't bring your phone. But I don't want to go back downstairs to face my wife, who no doubt is going to say, What'd you go upstairs for? Or what are you doing back downstairs? Oh, I need my phone because I'm afraid upstairs I'm by myself. So I was like, you know, I can do this. So I'm doing a pep talk. I'm at the top of the stairs. I have approximately 20 feet, probably more like 15 or 10, to get to my door. But it's, you understand, when the power outage goes out, there's no street lights. There's no, it is pitch black. Okay, this is real, folks. This is a real story, true story. I get to upstairs and I'm like, I can't really see anything. You know, so I get up against the wall. I'll go this way. I get up against the wall and I start to shimmy down the wall. You ever done this? And I'm like, if you had a videotape of me, I would give you a lot of money to not release that, okay? And I'm like, and then you hear something like, oh, Jesus, 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 power in your name. And I'm sliding down the wall. This is a real story. And I keep going like this. And I'm like, it's not there yet. And I'm like, I should be there by now, right? And I'm, Chelsea's down playing Sudoku, and I'm fighting for my life. And I'm going like, I mean, you cannot look cool, but none of you were there. I'm a 40-year-old grown man in my own home, shimmying down the wall. I should, right? And then as soon as I hit the handle, I was like, yeah, I'm good. Walk in. It was dark in there too. That's a whole nother story. But I don't like the dark. And I was laughing at myself in preparation for this sermon, thinking about doors and thinking about the power outage. And I never told Chelsea that story. I just came downstairs and was like, hey, baby, hey, you know, I was embarrassed at how fearful I am at 40. But you know, for many of us, our spiritual journey, wherever you are on the spiritual journey, it looks a little bit like me shimmying down the wall, reaching out, and you're thinking to yourself, you should be there by now. What's my point? A lot of people live their life wishing and hoping for a break. Kind of like me in the dark, just kind of like, I thought that would work out. I thought that job interview would go well. Well, I'm just going to keep hoping in the dark. Just keep kind of taking shots and hoping that maybe something works out. In fact, you are so used to this approach to life. When a preacher like me gets up and tells you that 2019 could be a year of favor, you, with your attitude proverbial pinned up against a wall, you're going, yeah, right. I know how life works. Life is just kind of as it comes. You know, you got to do your best and, you know, but it's kind of reaching in the dark and, well, I'm just hoping. Come on, how many people have you talked to in 15 days into the new year? How many conversations or coffees have you had with somebody who said something like, well, I sure hope 2019's going to be better. It should be better. I guess it could be a good year. I mean, it sure is raining a lot. Doesn't look like a good year to me. You ever hung out with somebody? They're always going to find a reason to prove that their approach to life is the best. Don't count on somebody. Man, the moment you count on somebody, they'll let you down. And without even knowing it, that's how we end up. It's safer that way. It's better that way. I'm not going to tell anybody that this is going to be my year. I'm not going to tell anybody that God is for me and God is with me and things are going to work out, because what I've learned is life is a shot in the dark. You can't count on nothing. You can't count on nobody. God helps those who help themselves. And so we live already 15 days into 2019. No door. Okay. Well, I'm going to catch a break here somewhere. Something goes right, you're like, whoa, that was good. I better be careful now. Something's bound to go wrong now, because that actually turned out good. Wait, I got the job? Oh, man, something bad's about to happen now, because something good, Now, let's be honest. Some of us have been in church long enough. We know that you can't tell anybody you think like that. Right, you know enough about church that you can't roll up into church and be like, it's probably not going to be a good year. because you know that other Christians are here who are like, God's good, amen, brother, praise the Lord, everybody. And so you walk into church like, amen, amen. But inside you're like, please, this is ridiculous. I know what life looks like. Life looks like this. That's life. And the lucky people, they go like this and they grab a door and it opens to them. And those are the lucky people. For the rest of us, we just pinned up against life's proverbial wall, hoping to catch a break. It's dark out there. It's bad. It's evil. It's wicked. Hope that just maybe in 2019, you could maybe possibly catch a break. And so we don't get our hopes up. We don't believe God for anything. Well, why get your hopes up? Because if you don't get your hopes up, your hopes won't be dashed. And so if you let's think about it for a moment. I said a minute ago, I believe this will be a year of favor for you in 2019. And some of you had the thought, and I'm not mad at you, this is called normal. It's called natural. Some of you like, oh yeah? Please, you can't say that. You don't know that. Can I ask you a question? If I say it's gonna be a year of favor and you go, doubt it, prove it, I don't think so, I don't know it, what's the alternative? Like for instance, waking up every day being like, this is gonna be a good day. Maybe not. Like the alternative, this is gonna be a good year. Like, who starts out a year and goes, it's probably just going to be a normal, average, mundane kind of year, just like the last one and the next one? Well, maybe if we lean into the story of God a little bit more and recognize that he gives good gifts to those who ask, that he's a good heavenly father. In fact, you can find the best dad on the planet and he's evil compared to how good God is. And the Bible says, if you knock, it says it twice, if you knock on doors, your God is so good, he will open them to you. And so I say it's going to be a year of favor and there's going to be open doors for you. Why can't we? Are we just a bunch of people of positivity? Is the glass proverbially half full? Is that what we are? Oh, you know, man, you go roll over to church home, they're all so positive. You know, everybody's positive. Well, what are we supposed to be? You know, church home, I like that. They're real. They're negative. When did negative become real? When did negative become more real than positive? What sucks out there? Yeah, that's my kind of church. Let's keep it real. Keep it real is code for keep it negative. No. There is truth. There is facts in the story of God, i.e. the Bible, that says God wants to do you good. I have plans not to harm you, not to hurt you, the Bible says. God says plans to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. Excuse me in 2019 while I get my hopes up. And don't blow out my candles. I'm excited about the party I'm gonna have in 2019. I'm gonna go ahead and get my hopes up. And I'm gonna try to hang out with people who also get their hopes up. Not on the basis of positivity, but on the basis of the character of God and how he works. He says, if you need something, or if you want a door open, knock on it. I'm a good father. I'll open it to you. I don't run in to a lot of Jesus followers, or even those considering following Jesus, who talk like this and think like this. And one of the reasons is because we still allow our experiences to dictate and determine our view of God rather than our view of God dictate our experiences. So we keep telling ourselves, because I can't catch a break, God's not for me, he's not good, and so what I'm going to do, I'm going to join the huddled masses up against life's proverbial wall, and I'm going to hope that 2019 gives me a break. How was your year? Oh, there was a couple of good days in there, yeah. But you know how life is. Yeah. I'd like to encourage you in 2019 to change your approach, to confidently move in the direction in which you are going, believing that doors are going to open in front of you. Three kinds of doors I want to show you that God specializes in. Three kinds of doors God, I believe, is going to open for you in 2019. I believe is going to open for me in 2019. I believe is going to open for our church in 2019. The first is found in John chapter 20. There's a story. It's what is known as Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, and it's the third day. Jesus has been in the grave. On the third day, he will rise again. He's now appeared to a couple incredible ladies. But the rest of his followers, the rest of his disciples are not aware of this. And it says in John chapter 20 and verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So we've got the original followers of Jesus. They have gone behind a door. They have locked the door because they're afraid. Now, if there's anybody in here that can claim you have no fear in your life, you are, in fact, the second coming of the Christ. For the rest of us, fear is a factor. For the rest of us, fear is something we wrestle with in this broken planet called Earth. It just is. We all have our fears, some greater than others, some more prominent than others, some more obvious than others, but we all have our fear. I want to tell you that Jesus specializes in opening locked doors, doors you have closed and locked because you're afraid. There are whole portions of your life you have shut and locked off because you got hurt, because it didn't work, because it didn't actually benefit you, because you tried it and you failed. And so you've locked that part of your life away. There are talents that you have that you won't use. You haven't used in years because when you used them, people made fun of you. It didn't work out. You didn't get the job. People said you couldn't do it. And so you determined, I'm going to lock that door. I'm never going to go there again because I've got to preserve myself. Well, guess what? The very first Jesus followers did exactly what you're doing. Because they were afraid. Hey, well, hey, if they crucified Jesus, they could crucify us. Hey, everybody, let's go. Lock the door. I can see all the locks on the door. Lock themselves in. Just one little pathetic pity party. As they all sit around. I miss them. I miss them too. I miss them more than you do. Shut up, Nathaniel. Is your name Bartholomew? You're never mentioned in scripture. You know, whatever. Christian jokes, you know. It's all just sitting around. I'm scared too. We're all scared. Just shut up. Okay. Are we out of pita bread? Yes, we're out. And what are they doing? I don't think they know. What's the plan? There isn't one. The plan is fear. Fear's become the plan. Preservation's become the plan. Survival's become the plan. Getting through the day has become the plan. I'm just gonna get through the day. And what started off with stars in their eyes, dreams and aspirations. Jesus is going to change the world. Now he's dead. He's gone. He's actually alive, but they don't know that because they've locked themselves behind a door. And you know what I love about Jesus? He doesn't even unlock the door. He walks through it. And what I love about this is it's kind of like Jesus is like, this is so... Your fear is so easy for me. Like, I can solve this real fast. I love it. It says, and the disciples were for fear of the Jews, comma, huge comma, by the way, massive comma. That was a joke. Okay. Jesus came. I love this. Jesus came and stood among them. But how did he? He just I mean, the scripture kind of insinuates. He just kind of walked in and appeared. Hey, hey, you guys. And they're like, oh my God. I mean, you are God. And look at Jesus. He's like, everyone just have peace. And Jesus walks through the door of fear. Why can't we believe in 2019 that he can walk through your door of fear? Why can't we believe that God can walk through the door you're hiding behind? What door are you hiding behind? Can we get real honest? Can I like move into your neighborhood just for like a minute, 30 seconds? Are you hiding behind a door of criticism for fear? You hiding behind a door of gossip because you feel your own inadequacy? Hiding behind a persona that's not even who you are, but you play to a persona? Are you hiding behind hurts and pains? Are you hiding, and it's all rooted in fear? What if in 2019, instead of mere optimism or petty positivity, we actually believe in a good God? The same God who walked through that locked door in the Middle East is the same God who can walk through your locked doors for fear and change your whole approach to life in 2019. Why not? What things have you locked away? What doors are you hiding behind? And if you're here and you have no fears and no doors you're hiding behind, again, you are either Mother Teresa or the second coming of the Lord Jesus. For the rest of us, we all got stuff we locked away. What if God wants to walk in on that and say, hey, let's talk about this. You have become an incredibly critical person over the years, and it's because you're afraid and insecure. And you're not a critical person. That's not who you are, but that's what you've developed. And you've locked away that kind, considerate, caring person you really are because that person got used and that person got belittled and so you have developed a thick skin and now you're the sarcastic, critical person in your social circle. And maybe in 2019, God's saying, yeah, I want to get rid of the thick skin and I want you to recover that kind, sensitive, caring, loving person you really are. Whew. This could be our year of favor. Someone's like, I didn't want that kind of favor. I just wanted a job. I like being critical of my friends. It's hilarious. There's a door of fear that I think God wants to walk through and bring us back to who we really are in 2019. I believe we're favored for that. And there's another door. I think there's a door of justice. Let me explain this. There's a story in Acts chapter 16. Paul, who writes more than half of the New Testament by the help of the Holy Spirit, he's in a town, and he's got a guy by the name of Silas who rows with him. And Paul and Silas are daily going to the temple to pray, and there's this servant gal, and she's possessed with demons, and these demons give her power to basically tell people's fortune. And so she's telling people's fortune. But these demons are so intimidated by the Jesus that Paul and Silas follow. They live, love, and look like Jesus so much that this young lady who's possessed by demons, when she would see Paul and Silas on the street, she'd be like, hey, these guys are real. They follow Jesus. And she'd be yelling it out. So day after day, finally, the Bible says, Paul just got annoyed. This young lady is annoying, right? And she's making me seem like I'm weird. Hey! Like walking into a restaurant, hey, he's a preacher of Jesus. She's like, please, please. So he's like, hey, in the name of you, come out. So the demons leave this woman. Well, there were men who were making money off the demons that had filled this young lady. When they find out she doesn't have the gift anymore of fortune telling, they come and find Paul and Silas and they put them in the prison. The Bible says they put them in a dungeon. This dungeon, based on research, we're told this dungeon was probably filled with sewage. Paul and Silas are probably up to sewage to their waist, if not more. It's grotesque. And the Bible says they are put in prison unjustly. Unjustly. And there in the prison, I think to myself about Dr. King, and I remember when he would talk about justice and he would talk about hate, and he would teach that you can never defeat hate with hate. You can never beat injustice with more injustice. You can only defeat hate with love. And so Paul and Silas are up to sewage to their waist. They're in prison unjustly. What has been done to them is not right. It's not lawful. Where is God? And the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were doing what? They were praying and singing. Now, I like music, and I do pray every once in a while. But if you put me in sewage up to my waist, I don't know how much praying and singing I would do. I'm just going on the record to say that. I might be doing some praying in the form of crying out to the tune of, God, I am mad at you. Right? But they're praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, and it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened, indicative of the work of Jesus and even how he saves people. All the doors were open. All the doors were open. Can you imagine how many people right now, under the sound of my voice, from Seattle here to LA, are right now facing something that is not right and unjust and unfair? There are people here, you're in a lawsuit. There are people here, you are up under criticism and gossip that just frankly is not true. There are people here, your former friends have spread rumors about you and said horrible things about you. Some of you broke up with somebody you were really interested in, and now they're spreading rumors about you. It's just not fair. It's unjust. It is not okay. There's so much injustice in our world. So much things that are not fair in this world. We talk about 2019 going to be a year of favor. Everyone's like, I need a job. I need some money. I need a spouse. I'll even take a fiance. Scratch that. I just need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And boy, it's one thing for us to hope for a job or a date. But let's talk about favor that actually works in the spaces of injustice. You know what amazes me about Paul and Silas? They have so much confidence in God that in the midst of this unlawful imprisonment in a dungeon with dung up to their waist, they start singing. I'd be like, hey, somebody give me a lawyer. Paul and Silas are like, hey, you wanna sing that song? Do you know, Lord, I give you my heart? Reuben Morgan, Hillsong Worship. Okay, let's do that one. Start naming, you know, authors. Judah, relax. Wow. What a picture. Dr. King would be proud of this story. How do you fight injustice? They did it with love and joy. Start singing to their God who can work miracles. I want to be abundantly clear as we're approaching, again, the weekend of honoring the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We are outmanned when it comes to injustice, my brothers and sisters. We are outmanned. Injustice runs rampant through the streets of this country and most countries, if not all countries of the world. And as long as there is men and women on this planet, there will be injustice. So what will we do? I thank God for legislation. I thank God for laws. I thank God for governments. But I need God to intervene. And I still believe that the most powerful way that we can open the doors of justice in our country, in any country, is when we acknowledge there is one who is in charge, sovereign and supreme, and he can work miracles and do the supernatural. Oh, we need a miracle in this country. We need a miracle for justice and equality. And Paul and Silas sang to the one who can do miracles, and he did. And everyone's doors were opened. Maybe you're here and something very unfair is happening to you. I want to say in 2019, I believe that God can open the door of justice for you. I believe God can clear your name in 2019. You know, you may not be able to convince everybody who's against you or those who spread rumors about you, but I believe that God can bring justice in your life. I believe the same God who miraculously sent an earthquake at the exact time. Do you know what's crazy about verse 25? It says at midnight, that's when the earthquake took place. Do you know what midnight is? It's the darkest part of the night. I can believe in 2019 that God's favor is so real in your life that when 2019 is at its darkest and you are at your lowest and you're at the end of yourself and the end of your rope, that actually it's at that moment God can move heaven and earth on your behalf to bring you the justice that is indicative of who he is. No, God is a just God. Let us not forget this, church. God is a just God, and he is for justice for all people. I believe God can open doors of justice for you in 2019. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe that oftentimes when it comes to the door of justice, we try to force it. We try to make it happen. And that's where we begin to cross that line that Dr. King talked about, where we start hating people who hate, and we become a part of the problem. Because we want the door of justice to open so wide, we try to force it and we try to push it. And by doing so and striving in our own knowledge and wisdom, we end up making the enemy our enemy. Rather than peddling and perpetuating love, Paul and Silas give us such a great example. When you feel like you are behind the doors of injustice, why not look to the one who holds all the keys? Cry out to him and sing to him. And so make no mistake, what we do here and what we do in auditoriums in Seattle and LA, when music starts and we start singing, that singing has, there's power there. There's power there. There's power there. There's power there to open hearts and open doors and change paradigms and perspectives and worldviews and change stuff in your life. I believe the door of justice is going to open for you in 2019. I really believe this. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe the unjust thing that is happening to you right now, I think God can actually turn it around. And I actually think you don't have to strive, make it happen, or force it. You can just rest and trust that God is going to do it for you. I believe that. I really do. I think you can stand and see the salvation of your God. Some of you are tempted right now to exact your own justice. Don't do that. Let the just God of heaven and earth, your good heavenly Father, knock on that door and say, God, I need you to open the door of justice for me in 2019. And watch, I believe God will do it. I believe God will do that. And you know what I love about justice? It's never just about you. It's never just about you. And the Bible says, and everyone's doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. I believe that. Lastly, in conclusion, I'm coming to a close. A turtleneck is getting hot, so I shall close soon. It really is, actually. There's a man that I've already mentioned. He was in the dungeon there. He was in the sewage. His name's Paul. God uses Paul in very incredible, miraculous ways. And Paul, as I said, writes more than half the New Testament by the help of the Spirit of Jesus. And Paul will go from city to city and town to town. He'll start churches not too dissimilar to the one that you and I are part of here at Church Home. And one of the main cities in which Paul will work is a city called Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is kind of an LA. It's kind of a New York. It's kind of a Paris. It's a hub. It's a culture center. Ephesus is a larger city in ancient time, and it's there in Ephesus, and you can read much of Paul's work in Ephesus and places like 1 Corinthians and other places. He's working in Ephesus, and of course, the book of Ephesians is to believers in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, Paul will be there approximately 3+ years. By the time he writes this in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, he's been there almost
3 years, if not 3 years. And 1 Corinthians 16:9 says this about a door. He says, I'm gonna stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, and here's why. A wide door for effective work has just opened to me, and there are many adversaries. This is the third and final door I want to address, and then I'm done. I believe there is a door of fear that God wants to walk through. I believe there's a door of justice God wants to open to you. And lastly, I believe there is a door of success that God wants to open to you. But I want to tell you a little bit of something about this door of success, and then we're done. I want you to consider now Paul, the great Paul, Paul the Apostle. For those of you familiar with Scripture, you've definitely heard of Paul. He's the artist formerly known as Saul. Right? He was a religious thug. He actually killed Christians. Men, women, boys, and girls. He's a bad man. He meets Jesus in a real way. His life transforms. He becomes the number one proponent, preacher, teacher of the goodness of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. He goes to the culture center of Ephesus, and for 3 years, he sees very little success. Now, conversely, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, just a few pages later in your Bible, he says this about another city, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, when I arrived in Troas, Chelsea pronounces it Troas, I pronounce it Troas. I think I'm right. And that's been the problem of our marriage for 19 years. When Paul arrived in Troas to proclaim the message of the Messiah, what does he find? I found the place wide open. God had opened the door. Now think about it. For 3 years, he's in Ephesus with very little success. He just walks in the door at another city, and there's already a door of success open to him. Here's what I've learned about the door of success. It is not on your timetable. Now, I can believe that the door of success will open to you in 2019. And by the way, success is defined many different ways in Scripture, but ultimately it is defined by the health and buoyancy of your soul. But I believe the door of success will open for you. And I'm talking about job. I'm talking about income. I'm talking about resource. I'm talking about opportunity. I'm talking about influence. But I want to urge you and remind you and rehearse with you the timeline of God. For Paul the Apostle, one city took 3 years. But at the end of that 3 years, he said, there's been like a double door opened all of a sudden. All of a sudden, there's a double door of favor. You know what we do? We try something out for a weekend and go, ooh, man, God's not in that. I'll tell you that right now. Woo! Yeah. Some of you, that's how you date. Oh, Jesus, help me now. But if it doesn't just click, if it doesn't just work, if it isn't easy, if everything just kind of falls into place, if I don't got the perfect hand, this must not be for me. Says who? Well, I'm just saying, if I had favor, things would work out immediately. Well, there's some evidence in the Bible that says you can have favor and things can take some time. You know why? Because God is more interested in the success of your soul than in the success of your bank account or your Instagram followers. And so sometimes it needs to take some time, but don't give up. Some are like, this is not, I can't be here because it's been a year and no door has opened. By the way, I will be the pastor in your life until I move to the desert, Palm Springs, 23 years. I'm gonna be there, but I got 23 years left. I'm gonna be the pastor in your life who will believe that on this day, the door of success will, every day of the week, I'll be like, come on, this is gonna be the day. But if it's not, we still keep doing the little things, trusting God. But many of us, we would have gave up on Ephesus. Ooh, I should not be in Ephesus. I got to go. Why? Because I've been here for 2 weeks and nothing good's happened. 3 years. Acts 20, Paul says, I was telling you the message of Jesus with tears for 3 years. It was hard, it was difficult, but then all of a sudden, favor. Now, in those 3 years, watch your mouth.
I don't like this place. I tell you what, I'm not supposed to be in LA. I got here. I'm moving back. I don't care. I'll go right back to Oklahoma. I don't care. And you sabotage the favor in the meantime. And you, what we should do is be like, it's going to work out now. Ooh, it's raining. I know why it's raining in LA, because the blessing of God is here. It's going to work out. Ooh, man. There's more. Another day of rain, I'm double blessed. That door of success is going to open for me. Now, I promise, I'm done. I'm ending right here. Seattle, I'm done right here. Can you believe down here in LA, it's been 4 days of rain and everybody's complaining? I know how you feel. But so back in Tross or Tros, however you choose to pronounce it. I can't believe this. I promise I'm done. This is my close. It's over. It's done. Music's about, people are about to jump on stage in Seattle, everywhere, music team. It's over. I'm done. I'm done. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, watch this. Because one door of success took 3 years to open. The other was open the moment Paul arrived. But what happens to Paul? Look, it says, when I arrived in Tros to proclaim the message of the Messiah, I found the place wide open. God had opened the door. All I had to do was walk through it. But I didn't. Wait, what? Because I couldn't find Titus. And I missed him, and he had news of your condition. So look what it says. So I couldn't relax. I worried about you. So I left. Paul? God opened the door for you, Paul. Yeah, but I got scared. I got worried. What? Ain't nobody want to talk about this. What if things do work out? Oh, I never thought of that. Oh, that could be more money, more problems. I don't know. Nobody thinks about that. Paul did. He's like, man, this city just wants me to tell them about Jesus. Everybody likes me, welcomes me, but I can't find any friends, and I got worried and I got anxious, so I left. Have you ever walked past open doors of success? Are you like me? You walk past that door, you go home that night, and you beat yourself up. You tell yourself, you idiot, that was your chance. What were you doing? Ah! Right? Missed opportunity, missed open door, missed out favor. I failed. I didn't walk through. I didn't do it. I'll never be who God's called me to be. I'll never do what God's called me to do. I missed my moment. I missed my opportunity. That was my defining moment. And so we live in regret and remorse, and we replay that year. Back in 2012, what had happened was I met this, but man, I got sick and I didn't. So, you know, what could have been, you know. You're not going to believe. I didn't write the Bible. God did. Look at this. It says, and I got it, thank God. Look at the next verse. This is in the Bible. This is the next verse after I didn't walk through the opportunity God gave me. He says, but in the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. What? Evidently, Paul walks past, for fear and anxiety, an open door for success and opportunity. And he goes home, and instead of beating himself up in Macedonia, he says, you know what I love about God? He'll lead me to another place, and he'll open another door of success, and it will work out. I wonder if I got anybody here today who believes in a God like that, who believes in a God who, even when he opens up a door and rolls out the red carpet and prepares everything beforehand, when you walk past it because you're self-conscious or you're afraid or you're anxious, that you can go home and say, he's so good. He gonna open up another one.
We are in here trying to convince ourselves that this could be a good year. Meanwhile, Paul is like, I screwed that one up. But you know what I love about God? He's got so many more doors for me. And we're just trying to believe for one good thing. We're walking through years talking about, it's dark in here. Ooh, 2019 is already rainy and stuff. I catch a break. And God's like, hey, square your shoulders. Knock on the doors you want open. And when you don't walk through it because you're afraid, I'll open another one. I'm a good God. Don't go home and beat yourself up. You go home and build yourself up and believe in a God who's faithful, true, and good. If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who knock and those who ask. Yeah, in Romans 8, I won't put it on the screen because I'm just quoting it so it doesn't count for time. Romans 8 says, if God already gave us his son, will he not also give us all things that we need? Brothers and sisters, we are here tonight primarily celebrating a God who put on skin and bone, moved in the neighborhood, and he died on the middle cross. He became sin so that we could become right with God. And on the third day, he rose again. If he gave himself for your sin and your wrong and your error, can he not open up some doors for you in 2019? Come on, church. Jesus, help us to grow our perspective of you. I pray our perspective of your goodness and your provision and your power would grow in our mind, our will, and our emotions. I pray, God, that Church Home would be a community where you blow our minds with how big and good and strong and powerful and able you really are. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If you're here tonight, or if you're there in Seattle, any one of our locations, maybe you're there at Kirkland or Bothell or downtown or the UD, or you're here at the Saban, or you're there watching online on the app, I want to pray for you. If you said, Judah, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to include you in this prayer. For the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to receive the free gift of forgiveness that only Jesus offers, wherever you are, in whatever room you find yourself in right now, you want to receive. I want to remind you, you cannot earn the forgiveness of God. All you can do is accept it and receive it. If you'd like to accept and receive the forgiveness that only Jesus offers, on the count of three, I'm gonna ask you, wherever you are, even if you're online, you just lift up your hand. And the reason, on the count of three, I'm gonna ask you to lift your hand is because I believe when you respond on the outside to what's happening on the inside, it makes it more real to you. That's all. That's all. One, God loves you. Two, we actually believe your life will never be the same again. Three, if that's you, would you shoot your hand up and say, man, that's me. I receive, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the forgiveness of Jesus. God, you see these hands all over this room and rooms all over Seattle, and even those right now online, I thank you, your forgiveness flows freely. And we are forgiven indeed and forgiven forever, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray again for Church Home. This is my prayer that 2019 will be a year of true favor. I just declare this is gonna be a year where locked doors of fear will be opened, unlocked, and you will walk through. Doors of injustice will be open and there will be justice. And doors of opportunity and success will open to us. And Lord, though it takes a different timetable than we're planning on, we trust you in the meantime. Declare that over our church in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you're physically able or willing, would you stand with us? And come on, let's sing to our God. Come on, church.